You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
What?
When?
Why?
I am curious.
Time for another round of Am I Curious, where you ask a question and we set out to uncover the answer. Our latest Am I Curious question comes from Michigan radio listener Ashley Lewis of Royal Oak, and she is with us now. Ashley, what is your question?
My question is, what is the origin of the Sleeping Bear Dune story?
And what made you think of asking that?
I just always wondered because, you know, we've all heard it since we were kids, and I never knew, so just curious.
Well, and that's exactly what we do. We found someone who can answer your question, Ashley. Eric Hemingway is with us. Eric's the director of archives and records for the Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians. Good to have you back on Stateside, Eric. You're becoming a regular.
Well, thank you for having me back.
First, Eric, will you tell us this story of the bear cubs and the Sleeping Bear Dunes?
Well, I can tell you the story that was related to me as a child growing up in Cross Village. And I always like to put this sort of disclaimer out there. You know, these stories are unique to a lot of different communities. So a community could have the same story, but it's a little bit unique to their area. So I'm sure the story is a little bit different in Wisconsin. I'm going to tell you about what I learned in Cross Village.
Go!
So as a kid, the story that I heard, there was a great fire in Wisconsin many, many years ago. And during the fire, there was a mama bear and she had two cubs. And in order to escape this fire that was just ravaging all through the forest, the mama bear decided to make a go for it across Lake Michigan. So she took her and her cubs, and they just started to swim. And it was a very difficult journey. And they swam, and they swam, and they swam until they got into the sight of land. And the mama bear made it to shore, and she was exhausted. And she lay down onto the shoreline, and she was waiting for her cubs to follow her to where she was resting. Well, she was waiting and waiting, and her cubs never made it. Her cubs were within sight, but they just didn't have the strength to get to the shore, and they perished in the lake. And out of her sadness, she became the Dunes at Sleeping Bear, and South Manitou and North Manitou Island became her cubs. So they became a part of the landscape of the Great Lakes. So that was a story that I was told as a kid.
In this story, there's probably no way of knowing how ancient it is there?
It's ancient. It goes back, and I understand time as it was explained to me, especially with storytelling, that time goes in a circle in many Native beliefs, especially at the Anishinaabeg. So time is always beginning, and it's ending, and it's beginning, and it's ending. It keeps going in this cycle. And it's very different than the linear example in Western concepts of time where you have a beginning and an ending. Well, in our concept, there is no beginning and ending. And many times the event is what is paramount, is what is stressed in the story. So the event was the mother and her cubs swimming and, you know, creating these landscapes. When it happened isn't as important as the event itself.
Mm. Now, I have heard sometimes when people talk about this, they use the word legend or myth. Explain to us why that's not the best words to use.
So when a lot of the Native stories have been translated to non-Native communities, this terminology with myth, folklore, fairy tale.
Yeah.
I really try to stay away from that terminology because it lends to this story not being true. That it's, you know, this fancy story you tell kids before bed, or it just doesn't hold any credence. And I really stay away from that because these stories do have credence and they do have truth for the communities that believe in them. And the Anishinaabeg are, you know, an oral people. That's how all of their history and knowledge and wisdom is passed down from generation to generation, you know, from word of mouth. So when you start to put these labels on these stories to say this is a myth, that starts to take away from the truth that's within those traditions.
Tell us more about Anishinaabeg storytelling. And I understand winter is really the season for stories.
What I was told is that there are certain spirits that are dormant. They're sleeping during winter. And many of these stories that we tell involve these different spirits that are sleeping. So we wait for them to go to sleep, so they're not offended.
Mm.
And then in the wintertime, all these stories are being passed from generation to generation. And storytelling is a very serious affair within Anishinaabeg communities. Certain people are giving the title of storyteller. And to have somebody tell a story, a lot of times there's cultural protocols. You have to pass the person tobacco. You have a feast to honor the story in that person. And many of the storytellers will tell the stories in our native language of Anishinaabemowin. because there's words that just don't translate into English.
So I suspect if we could understand Anishinaabemowin, we would hear such nuance to this story.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There would be all these different nuances and meanings and so on and so forth to the story. So storytelling is still carried out in our communities. It's just harder because there's not as many fluent Anishinaabemowin speakers.
Now, you've told us that other landscapes in Michigan have their own origin stories, too. Could you tell us the story of Mackinac Island?
Yeah, the story of Mackinac Island is probably one of the most well-known. The name itself roughly translates into the Great Turtle. The story that I was told and I've seen in other sources is that when the world was being created, this Great Turtle rose up and offered itself to be the starting point for all of what we call Turtle Island, which is North America. So that's part of that landscape in that particular area. Also with the Porcupine Mountains, the story I was told that there was once a giant porcupine and he was roaming through the Upper Peninsula and he laid down to rest and he became the Porcupine Mountains.
Okay.
And a lot of these stories also have not just the creation of the landscape, but there's a lot of moral, you know, teachings is what we call them, associated with the stories.
I'd wondered about that. So what would be some of the deeper teachings in the Sleeping Bear Dunes story?
Well, a lot of that is through what the person hears, and what I heard as a child is the compassion of parents for their children. You know, they would do anything for their kids. They'd go above and beyond for their children, you know, taking care of them, removing them from dangerous situations. Even though, you know, it's a difficult journey, you still stay together as a family, and you wait for your family even though you may have reached the destination before them. So that's what I gathered as a kid. And different people will pick up different types of those teachings out of these stories.
And hearing them again and again, I'm gathering you started hearing them as a very little boy.
Started hearing them, yeah, as a young boy. And I think what makes it even more powerful is that, you know, we visit the places where this occurred. So you can go to the Sleeping Bear Dunes, and you're hearing that story about the mother bear and the cubs, and you're seeing the island, you're seeing the cubs. And you're like part of that living landscape as the story is being told to you. It's a very powerful experience. And I would like to add that the area itself goes beyond the story of the bears. I was told a story about Sleeping Bear Dunes by an elder from this community that recently walked on. His name is Simon Otto. And I was talking with Simon a few years ago, and he just brought up Sleeping Bear out of the blue. And he said, do you know the story? I go, about the mother bear? He goes, no, the other story. I go, no, you know, please tell me, Simon. And he said when he was a young boy, they would have other young boys go down to the dunes. And it was a test of, I guess, a rite of passage, so to speak, that these young guys would have to run up the dune without stopping. That was one of your tests of manhood. And he said, you know, some kids couldn't make it, and it would take them several tries, or they'd come back the next year. And once they did that, they felt accomplished, and they were, you know, considered a young man in the community. So I'd never heard that story from anybody but Simon, and I asked if he ran up the dunes. He said, of course I did. And then he asked me, he goes, Eric, have you run up the dunes? I'm like, no, I've never. He goes, well, there's no, you know, it's never too late to be a man. So I was like, I got to run up the dunes for Simon. And one more point I want to make about that area within Leelanau, and that is there was a lot of movement in the 1800s of Anishinaabek throughout the state. And in the 1830s, the United States was very animate about not moving. They wanted Native communities to be settled, be permanent. And there was a community under Chief Wakazoo from Little Traverse here. And they would go down to Allegan County for the winter, and then they'd go back north in the summer. Well, when they had to make a decision about where to stay permanently, they said, we're going to live in Allegan County. And it became known as Old Wing Mission. Well, after about 10 years there, they decided that, you know, we don't want to be permanently located here in Allegan County. We want to be back up north. So in the late 1830s, they decided that they're going to choose a permanent location on the Leelanau Peninsula, right next to Sleeping Bear. And as they were leaving their location at Allegan County, they were packing up all their goods, you know, their families. And the one thing that they made sure that they took with them was all of their dead. They went and disinterred all of their relatives that had passed away, wrapped them up, packed them in the canoes, and brought them with them up north to Leelanau and reburied them next to where they lived. So they chose a very special place, obviously, at Leelanau Peninsula, but it just adds another layer of, you know, the attraction or the sacredness that is Sleeping Bear.
Ashley Lewis, what do you think? Did you get your question answered?
I definitely did. It was really interesting.
Yeah, there's really a lot to peel away and unpack with this. And I guess we could score another answer for Am I Curious? So we want to thank you so very much, Eric Hemingway, with the Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians. And Michigan radio listener Ashley Lewis, we're glad you wrote in. We all learned something, Ashley. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Eric, thank you.
Thank you.